recording.
Finish each other's sandwiches. It's a quote from our favorite show. Finish each other's sandwiches. So now we claim it for our own. As we always think the same. So for now, that's the name.
There it is.
Okay, thank you.
It happened again, as it always does. That's how we start the show, with the intro song.
It's like Rosie O'Donnell used to shoot a kushmal into the audience. Like, I question my levels because of the intro.
Every time. That's what you want. We want to be matching that. So we want it to be nice and loud, and then we want to come in nice and loud.
Right.
Because we want it to be even.
Right.
Less editing for me later.
Right, that's true.
So make it easy for me.
Mm-hmm. Even Stevens.
Make it even for Steven.
Make it even for Steven.
That's what they say, right? That's a.
They're like, all right, guys, let's make it even for Steven. Right. And Shia LaBeouf turns around. He's like, also, that's not his name. Like, right. Their last name is. And it's
Stevens.
Stevens. Stevens. Yeah, not even Steven.
Yeah. I think we're just going to go with a regular general old Steven. Like, it doesn't have to be.
Right. Steve.
Especially not somebody who's not named Steven.
Right. Well, you would never call somebody Steven if his name is not Steven.
How? Dare you?
Yeah.
You called me what? Steven?
Well, Dick is Richard,
I'm not
so.
A Steven. All right. Anyway, how are we doing? How's everybody doing?
Way off the topic that
That's
we were going
we always
for.
Do.
So.
How's it going? We're going to kind of get into like.
We're not going to wait for you to answer that question, just so you know.
Stress-free philosophy cast.
Hakuna Matata.
A quarter Matata. We're going to be talking about Zen stuff and what do you do to maybe stay stress-free or rid your life of stress? Like, there's just a normal amount of stress, and most people are above that on
right.
a daily basis.
Right.
Like, where you should be comfortably stressed out, like, because if you're too laid back, then, like, you'll never get anything done.
Right.
But it, or, you know, you have to have some worry.
Sometimes,
there has to be,
right.
There has to be there's a primal fear, and there's these animalistic instincts we have in ourselves that if we don't listen to it sometimes, it's probably not a good thing.
Right.
It's good
you should be alarmed by being uncomfortable or by being, not stressed necessarily, but, well, yeah, anxious, anxiety. Yeah. That's why people who, like, constantly do stunts are people who have like dopamine deficiencies, and they're always desiring that like above level because their bodies just don't react to things normally.
Right.
You know,
right.
It takes like an extreme, like, I only feel alive if I jump out of an airplane. And anyway, it's like the same kind of thing.
And on the opposite spectrum, you have like really lazy people that do nothing and they're mm-hmm. like, but they'll even tell you sometimes like, I feel weird when I'm not doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm not doing anything, just normal people, it's like people will be like, it's weird when I'm sitting around doing nothing because it feels
like. We can sympathize with that.
Right. And I think that that's something that, like, that's not lazy people sit around, do nothing, and don't feel bad about it. I'm saying that they're on the other end of the spectrum.
Right.
But you should feel weird doing nothing. You should be like, I'm not producing anything.
I surviving right now?
Right. It's like, what's my existence?
Right.
You question it because it's like, well, even as an animal, if they're doing nothing, the only thing that they would be doing nothing for would be conserving energy because
right.
they can't, like winter.
Sleeping or something.
Right.
Yeah.
It's winter, so I'm hibernating. Like, mm-hmm. that's the only reason you do nothing. Otherwise, you're actively either planning to hunt
right.
or hunting
you're
or eating.
You're losing food.
Or thinking about next food. Like,
right.
how do I get my next meal? Like, mm-hmm. those things. It's like, if you do nothing, you'll die.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Is
yeah.
like we used to, you know, not we used to, but like evolutionarily, we had to, the only way to survive was to do something. So
right.
to do nothing would lead to death.
Right. I was just thinking of evolutionarily. And I was like, E is very, very evolutionarily. That's my mind. Like, you started talking
right.
and I looked off and made that joke in my head.
That's okay. That's how we live our lives in most days. What are
so,
they, what's the L, O, and V then?
Oh,
would they,
gosh.
Would they also have to be like
right.
educational?
Yeah, which if you give me some time, I'll come up with those.
Okay,
actually, I can't believe I'm not even coming up with it now.
We'll write a song later.
Right, right.
Over it. And we'll come back
evolutionary
to you
about that. Mnemonics is
yeah.
what it would be.
All right, we'll come back to you with that.
Perfect. So, you know, we were kind of going off there a little bit, but what we're getting at is that, you know, is stress management and like how people can apply it to their lives. And I don't mean like this is a self-help podcast, but you know,
but it could be.
There's normal things that are going on in different levels of stress, like we were saying. And we've developed, I guess, in the past like 2 years, some things that help us manage that stress and some things that are new to Joe and some things that are new to me.
I will say that is one of my many dream jobs would be to like be a motivational speaker, like how to live your life stress free kind of guy.
Tony Robbins.
Yeah, that's one of them. But anyway, that's one of my lists of many things that I would love to do at one point.
Mm-hmm. You'd be great at it. So I have a very funny word joke on our board, but I'll probably just put it in the post because it won't really translate as well. Verbally, but anyway, so some different things, I guess. Joe, do you want to talk about like how you started doing yoga? I guess, had done yoga before and dance and Pilates. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No,
yoga was what I'm just getting at is before he starts is that yoga was new to you.
Right.
And tell us a little bit about
that. Yeah. And, I think that I was first introduced to yoga by just like getting into Buddhism and meditation and stuff like that. That was, proposed to me. And I also like, that goes along with a lot of times like the Dharma, and Greg and yoga.
That joke I know we make recently.
Yeah. But it's just, it usually goes hands in hand. Hands in hands. Hansons. But they typically go together because they're just related. And that's what I think I first heard it. But anyway, when I started doing it was because of DDP yoga. Diamond Dallas Page yoga. If you want to extend it out.
Right. But, DDPY.
Yes, DDPY, DDP, Diamond Dallas Page, is a wrestler, and he made his own yoga. He was on Shark Tank, and he did his own. I didn't know
that's how he did it.
Yeah, well, yeah.
He had to go through the gauntlet of Shark Tank.
He did go through it. I mean, I guess he probably could have done it on his own, but that was to get, like, you know, backing for it. Because, I mean, he's a retired wrestler. Yeah. He's not actively making tons of money.
Yeah, the only person who really makes money is Brock Lesnar anyway. But yeah, it's not like wrestlers really make money. Yeah.
The main guy, if you're still actively wrestling, you make money, but not if you're retired. You don't really make much money. Anyway, so he made a yoga video or program, I should say, created these DVDs, and I bought them, and I started doing them. And I would do it every day. I did it every day for like almost a year.
You did. And you really...
We did it
everywhere, even if we were camping or whatever. Like, we were those people. But we would do it together, too. And there was only a little while where I wasn't able to do yoga. But we did it together, and it was great. Like, it was like a new interpretation of yoga.
Yeah.
But it worked for us. And then we, from there, kind of tried to do yoga in places we were visiting. So we were camping in Telluride and we went to a yoga class there and we were the only ones in the yoga class and we just got our own.
Yeah, it was like a snowstorm.
Solo.
It was raining really hard.
It was raining and it was, because it was the summer.
Yeah, it was raining really hard and everybody was like staying in their house.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
In their $1 million homes because Telluride's insanely expensive.
Oh my God, yeah.
But it's the most adorable little mountain town.
It was beautiful. Yeah. We had so much fun
there. If I ever made bank, I would move there because it was awesome.
It was so cut off from everything.
It was.
You know, we would have had to drive really far to go anywhere, but I'm gonna sneeze. You better start talking.
Okay, so we did a yoga class there, and it was like it was so cool because it was like no one else showed up, and it was supposed to be a group class, so then it was just for us, and we got a personal yoga lesson, which was nice, from like an old lady that like knew her shit
that lived in a shoe. And then we came here and we did yoga when we visited. We did sleepy time yoga, kind of wind down yoga.
Oh, it was
this
nice.
Was a year ago when we visited. Well,
it was candlelight yoga.
I guess it would almost be 2 years now that we visited in August.
Let's make sure we know exactly how
I meant it was when we visited, but here before moving here.
Not important.
Here.
Let's move on.
But it was nice because, you know, it was in Pittsfield and we liked this wind down yoga. And then we moved here and then we did Great Barrington yoga and that was nice and small and local.
And they have them here. But anyway, we could talk about yoga and that, how we do it. But it's just something that like I think... And somebody said this to me once, and when I was telling them about it, because I feel like this goes along with every other meme and like when you start any kind of new anything, especially if it's like supposed to be healthy. Like say you started, everyone talks about, if they're doing a diet, they talk about their diet.
Right.
If they just learned yoga, they're going to talk about yoga. Anything that would be seen as a positive, you're going to talk about. Like it's just something that like comes up in conversation because it's something that you're passionate, you're excited about, and you eventually become passionate about it, and you eventually feel like, I feel good. This makes me feel good. Right. I want other people to feel good too.
And that helps you with connecting with people. And, yeah. And like, like fine-tuning your craft, you know, you like talking about it, and then you meet other people, and then you try new things.
Yeah, and that like leads to, you know, connections, and I think it brings apart, it brings just positivity into life.
It brings out better parts of things.
Right, and like of course you go into, there's a lot of, you know, you go. When I first heard, I was like, oh, yoga, that's like for girls. For one, I thought it was just like a girl thing. It's for girls, and it's, I'm like, it's for girls
and cats.
It's for girls like hippies, and I'm like, it's not my thing. I was lifting weights at the time. I was into,
right,
lifting, and I never liked cardio because I've just always hated running. I hate sweating like an idiot, and my legs are on fire. It's a terrible feeling. I hate it, but weightlifting's different, and then yoga's different. And like, I know people do hot yoga. Not about that.
No,
don't
never.
Put me in a sweaty room. It's so stupid. Let's do it in the cold. It's nice. And
we enjoyed the way it was presented in DDP, and it's been really nice to do it. And we've had like a lot of experiences opened up because we started doing yoga.
And even if it's just, look at it, like I try to tell it to people, I'm like, don't even think about like I'm doing yoga. Literally just stretching for 15 to 20 minutes every day, beginning of your day or end of your day or whatever. Just stretching, just taking long stretches, your legs and your arms, your neck, your back, and just literally stretching out all of your limbs. It's better to do it in the beginning of the day, but you can do it at the end of the day too. And you just, first of all, it does honestly give you energy if you start your day with stretching, but like not
oxygen,
just like a normal wake up and pull your arms. It's like taking like 20 minutes to like actually stretch.
First
like
thing you got to do, get rid of your pillows.
Get rid of your pillows. That's the opening line of DDP's
Wake Up
Yoga.
Let's do a podcast where we just quote the videos beginning to end.
We could. We absolutely could. I've seen it so many times now that I know it by heart.
So, but anyway, it was good to talk about yoga. And also we've done, tried to explore like meditation, like the world of meditation. And it's been,
it's tough.
It is. I was just going to say it's hard.
This is by far the hardest habit I've ever tried to start. Mm-hmm. I've done diets, hardcore diets where I was like on just shakes. I've done hardcore diets where you've eaten and I've eaten and like, and for me, as like a glutton, like I love food, I love eating, and that was crazy hard. But this is like the hardest thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Meditating is one of the hardest things I've ever tried doing, and it doesn't. But don't let that like deter you. Like, it's gratifying as well. After a while, it's something that like you want to be better at.
It's a true craft, and also it's a true craft, and also like, yeah, it's something you're. If you think about it, you were talking about being a glutton. So that means you eat a lot, but you're not actually eating 24 hours a day. Your mind is going 24 hours
a day. No, but if I'm not eating, all I'm thinking about is the next time I'm going
to
eat.
No, but what I'm trying to say is, so you're eating like, you're not eating 24 hours a day, but your mind is something that's going 24 hours a day.
Right.
So it's so hard to train something like that that's going on literally all the time since the day you were born.
Right.
So my point is that it is the hardest thing. It makes sense because of that exact reason.
Right.
Like maybe sometimes people are drinking a little too much, or maybe sometimes they're eating too much, but your mind is something you can never stop.
Right.
You know, that's hard.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So like, I feel like for me, for normal people, diets are usually the hardest thing to do because whereas if you have a habit that you need to quit, anything besides eating is reasonable. Smoking, drinking coffee, they can be done even though they're highly addictive. You can do it because it's not something you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
You need to eat. You need to eat and you need to breathe. And it's like you need to do these things. It's the only things you need to do.
Right.
You know, and you can get away with not doing anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to, so like learning how to diet, how to not eat when you want to is hard because it's like you have to eat eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really hard to not eat. When you know you have to survive, to eat,
sure,
to live.
Right. And
the
that's
second
a habit,
hardest
yeah.
thing, or the hardest thing for me, I should say, in front of that is meditation because you're always thinking.
Right.
And you can't not be. You can't not think.
Yeah.
You can't not. Your brain. How do you stop your brain from running a million miles a minute?
There's always that baseline of like a hum that's going at all times. Yeah. And yeah, I remember trying it when I was like 13, and it was my dance instructor, and she had us lay down and do it, and she described like a beach scene to us, and she walked us through going on the sand and our toes going in the sand and everything. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, I'm so relaxed. But I was doing it wrong, because even then, now that I think about it, I was just like I think we talked about it before, but when you go into a guided meditation and we're talking about a scene and the feeling, you're mm-hmm. still like activating your mind, thinking of those things. And right. I like immersed myself in this scene. So I guess it wasn't true meditation,
right, but
you know?
I think the first rule of Fight Club, the first rule of meditation is honestly don't judge yourself too hard.
Yeah,
don't think I'm doing this wrong. Just be aware that what you're doing, mm-hmm. don't label it. Don't go, I'm doing something wrong. I need to do better. Don't just realize what you're doing mm-hmm. and then bring yourself back to your breath. And that's right. like the one thing that
Find
you have to
breath.
Continuously need to do is just,
sure.
oh, okay. I am aware that I'm doing this thing. It doesn't mean it's wrong or right or whatever. It's just what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. It's just you become neutral to it.
Same as yoga. They say, oh, like read what your body is, listen to what your body's saying and accept it. And right. even if you're not going as far, right, right.
Be neutral towards
I've
it.
I've loved it.
Don't judge it. Mm-hmm. And that's like the hardest thing because both of us are very competitive. We're both, mm-hmm. Both of our brains are like a million miles a minute. We're not calm people. In
right.
the way. Like we're usually full of energy.
You've been doing such a good job though.
It's like, really hard.
With the meditation.
You bring yourself to a point of like, you want to literally be in the moment. And that's the hardest thing to do is to be in the moment. Mm-hmm. You're either thinking about the past or you're thinking about the future.
Or you think you're in the moment and then you're really kind of in tons of places in the moment, like
yeah.
even though it's, you know, present. But
or
you,
like I say, I'm usually always like one step ahead of the present moment. Mm-hmm. Like I'm in the very, very close or near future. Mm-hmm. I'm usually always thinking, what's the next thing I have to do?
Like
what's the
yeah.
next thing that is going to be happening or needs to be done? I'm literally like one step ahead of myself at mm-hmm. almost all times. And it's like really hard to take that one little step back mm-hmm. and just be right here, right now.
Right. And I mean, we were talking about that the other day with, and we'll just talk about it, but we were saying, you know, being in the moment, like being truly in the moment and like thinking and stopping and thinking. We were in our living room and looking at the fire by the Christmas tree, and it was really nice and relaxing and calming. And Joe said, oh, you know, everything that's happened in the whole world and the whole universe is led up to this exact moment. So even just like things that were bad, things that were good, every single thing has led up to what's happening presently, and that changes and changes and changes. But that's why this is so important. Like nothing else even matters that's happening.
Right.
We could just really, you know, if you bring it down to the scale, like when Pete Holmes says, we are on a planet.
We're on a planet.
You know, that's what we were trying to get at, is that you can kind of bring yourself back and like the Keanu Reeves picture where he's like staring in the concert, like, whoa.
Yeah.
But truly, like, it's, that's kind of what you have to remind yourself of. I try to do that.
Right. And it's not just that it is existing. It's like, why, here's the thing. Why would you want to be anywhere
right.
but right mm-hmm. now, right here? Like what's in the future? Unknown.
Right.
What's in the past?
You already
doesn't
know.
Matter. You can't
yeah.
do anything about it.
It is
you
in
can't,
the past.
Yeah, you can't change it. There's just nothing you can do to change anything except for this exact moment. So it's like the hardest thing, though, for me, though, is I think like, well, I can change the very next moment if
right.
I do this, which is now. So I'm like right. I'm just like so close to being in the present moment, but I'm not quite there. And I think that that's my hardest hump to get over. And I'm still
sure.
struggling with that every time I try it.
Monks
stay
in their monastery for like decades.
Yeah.
Like
no,
it's a constant thing. And the human mind is always being fed information. So it's sort of like studying for a test
yeah.
and you think you've got it and you're like, all
right,
cool. And then the teacher brings new material the next
right,
day. And you're like,
right.
oh no, but I just learned the last one.
Right.
Like, you know, the Dalai Lama, I mean, being in Tibet, so the Chinese invaded and, you know, killed all the people. And, you know, he's obviously very old, but he's seen all these wars, all these presidents and different like severe things happen to his country constantly. And so he's probably like just feeling like he's getting to Dharma. And then,
yeah.
and then like something happens, like then Trump gets elected president.
Right.
And he's like, well, okay, it's really hard for me to handle my shit right now. But, you know, it's something that I don't think is ever supposed to be perfected, or at least
that's,
it's just constantly changing.
What I was going to say was
you're evolving with it.
I think it's something that like you should just accept. Like I will always just be practicing meditation.
Right.
I'll never master it.
You're not a Buddha.
Right. If you just accept that it's not something you need to be the best at. It's not something you even have to be good at. It's just something you have to practice. If you're practicing,
right.
it doesn't matter if you're good or not, because practicing is just doing the action and and trying
the intention.
To
get, the intention is there, the intention, and that's what matters. Like, it's yeah.
Whether you get better or not, nobody's judging you. There's no meditation competition that you can even
including yourself
and become good at. Like, it's not something that you have to prove to anybody. That's what makes it, I think, the hardest to get behind, is because it's almost like you get nothing from it.
Right.
But that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You want nothing sometimes, because even though you shouldn't ever want to be lazy and unproductive, but you want to sometimes drop all the stress that's in your life, because mm-hmm. you sometimes are at a million and you want to be at zero. And
right.
it's so hard to live that life. And that's understandable.
Going back to what we were saying, where you kind of, if you're not doing a lot of something, you should feel uncomfortably, because that's a vulnerable state.
Right.
That's exactly what you're doing when you're meditating, is you're putting yourself in a vulnerable state.
Yes.
To both yourself and, if you think about it, physiologically to other things. That
right.
Obviously, you shouldn't be afraid of being shot or killed or attacked by a lion in your house
right.
when you're meditating. But, you know, that's the human brain. Just like being uncomfortable in the dark.
Or in the ocean.
Yeah, yeah, always. Oh, no, I don't want to think about
it
right now.
The feeling of being in the deep ocean, like just like with water
underneath
you.
That will never get, will never be improved by meditation.
Right,
no.
You should feel uneasy. You're not in your element. You don't belong in water.
Right.
There are millions of deadly things down there that belong there.
Right.
And you're in their house.
We would have been like able to breathe underwater if this was the case.
Right,
if we were meant to be there.
Exactly.
Yeah. No. Seriously.
So, I mean, that's like, you know, so we were talking about how, like, so basically everybody has stress in their life. Everybody has a different, what they consider stress. Everybody mm-hmm. thinks this, my life is stressful.
It's subjective.
Nobody thinks that they don't have stress in their life. It doesn't exist, because you create stress. You say, this is stressful for me. So what's stressful for somebody else might not be stressful for me. So it's hard to judge when somebody's like, oh, my life's so stressful.
Right.
And then other people will be like, oh, you think your life is stressful.
And it's always that.
Look what I have to deal
right.
with. Let's not play that game.
Oh, I know.
It's such a waste of time. It gets everybody nowhere.
Right.
Just,
right.
I understand empathizing. If you want to compare yourself and somebody says that mm-hmm. they're feeling something,
sympathize,
you're like,
right.
I've felt that way too. Let's mm-hmm. share how we feel that way together. But I think that we should do more of that than competition. Who's the most tired? Right. Who has the most stressful life? And when?
Right.
And we live in a culture where if you have the most stressful life, you're seen as better than somebody else.
Right.
It is a status thing. You're like, wow.
Who's working the hardest? Who's
doing
the most? I'm
a mom of three kids. Mm-hmm. I teach them piano. I bring them to soccer.
Right.
I work full time. I work out. I'm going to these classes. I'm studying to be this. I already have this full time job.
Right.
Wow. That's really inspiring. Wow, you do mm-hmm. so much. I'm so impressed. Like,
right.
you're above and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
That really shouldn't be the goal. The goal shouldn't be, how can I do a million things at once? It should
mm-hmm.
be like, how can I do what I'm doing at this moment the best that I can do it?
Right. And
not thinking about what I have to get done in 5 minutes, what I have to get done tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
How could I do what I'm doing right now, whatever that may be, to the best of my ability?
Right.
If we could become there, and if everybody could just be at that point,
mm-hmm.
we'd always be doing the best thing we could with
right.
what we have.
That's like the class I took. It talks about like conflict resolution.
The French I took.
The French I... Biology. No, it's I didn't... I will sing that song, though. Very briefly, I'll just say it's just about communication and conflict management and resolution. And references I used in my presentation, the one that I can post that has many Garfield clips, if you'd like
only
to see.
Only Garfield clips.
Yeah, it's only, yes, strictly. Oh, you like Garfield. Anyway, I talked about it in there, and it talked about, I used work as the reference, and how, you know, everyone has their own thing that they're dealing with while they're at work, but everyone is essentially trying to do the best job that they can. I think usually everyone wants to do a good job. And even if it means that person isn't necessarily working very hard, they still want to be accepted and loved and, you know, regarded as a good worker or as somebody that people like at work,
right.
you know? And so that goes along with that. Like, I think about that at work and I think, how could this other person be stressed out? They're only doing this thing or this thing. But I try to think about it. And I think at the end of the day, sometimes they'll say things to me and I interpret it as, oh, they think they're working very hard. They're trying their best. I try to see their perspective.
Yeah.
Like, maybe in their mind, they are overwhelmed.
Right.
Of course they are. Why would they make it up? But
And that goes along with anything like stress, trauma. Right. I mean,
and I don't mean to think about it, but it's hard to not when, especially when that person is asking a lot of me.
Right.
And I feel like they shouldn't be, and they're sitting while I'm doing something. Right. It's hard for me to like see it from their perspective.
Sure. No, of course.
But I definitely try to now at work, especially because I see like the end of the day that everybody means well. And right. What's it worth getting mad? It's really hard to imagine that people do it as a personal thing against you.
Right.
And it doesn't come down to that usually. Usually people don't even mean to think the way that they did. Like right. They just mean well
and
or something else.
Typically don't change. Like me telling them, hey, you should be right. More aware of your actions. You should maybe take on less. If you feel like what you're doing is too stressful, why don't you take on less work or try it? That won't, I mean, I could try and say it. In fact, I feel like I should more often talk to people that way, maybe just to give them some insight. Maybe they don't want to hear it. I don't know. But I feel like I could reach out. Maybe I should reach out more than I do because I usually don't. And
right.
I think in my head, man, like this guy could really use this or that or this.
Sure.
And they won't. You know what I mean? Like
I just try to like compliment people because I hear what you're saying. But then
sure.
I feel as if these people act this way where they get overwhelmed very easily because they think people expect more of them
right.
And they're trying to rise to that, which you know what I mean?
Totally. And I think
so then it might be hard for them to think they shouldn't do as much.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
I mean, I do it for you. I mean, when you feel like you're like, oh, I'm being judged.
Best.
I thought I did a lot, but maybe I didn't do enough. I always try to reassure you that
you
did your best.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all anybody could ever ask of you.
Right.
If you are expected to do more than what you can do, that's not fair. Now, people should not push themselves to be better than they are.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is if you are honestly doing the best that you can do, that's your only goal. Your
right.
only goal should be
your own personal
I'm going
best.
To do my best right here, right now.
Mm-hmm.
Not somebody else's goal. I don't need to reach anybody else's standards.
Standard.
I have my own. I have my own goals. I set mm-hmm. them. If I want to set them low, they're low. If I want to set them high, they're high.
Right.
It has nothing to do with anybody else. If
right.
we could somehow start getting closer to losing those judgments of what other people think of us,
mm-hmm.
as hard as that seems, it honestly brings you much more satisfaction. When you meet your personal goal than you meeting somebody else's goal. If I
right.
do what you want me to do,
mm-hmm.
I don't walk away satisfied. If
right.
if I do something that I want to do, I walk away happy and satisfied and
right.
full of, you know.
I guess with work that's hard, but I obviously
agree
with you. I agree with you, you know, but everyone's thinking of, especially
so
in medical.
Make
but,
your own personal goal. If you're
right.
doing something you don't technically
love. I hope people
love,
do that. I do
if
that.
If you're a paper pusher, or data entry or something like that, and you're
mm-hmm.
like, all right, well, the boss needs me to do this. Create your own version of that for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get this done by 2:00.
Right.
Because then I could take an hour.
Create your own Tetris solution where all the bricks fall at once.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Just imagine that.
And then
that.
It wipes all of them out at the same
yes,
time.
Yes, minesweep.
And you get the biggest bonus.
Yes. But I definitely
like,
agree.
The guy's like, get this done by the end of the day. You can be like, all right, well, why don't I get it done by 2? I'll just like work my ass off and get it done by 2. And then I'll take a half an hour and go for a walk or go to, you know, something like that.
Right.
Where it's
reward
like, all right,
yourself.
Now I did something to my goal, I reached it at 2:00 and then I could reward myself
mm-hmm.
rather than killing myself by trying to do that and this and this and that and thinking about, oh, I got to do this. I got to just do what you're doing at the moment the best that you can.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's terribly hard. It's
mm-hmm.
so hard to stay in the moment. It's so hard to not think about what I have to do at the end of the day or what
right.
I have to do 5 minutes from now. It's
sure.
It is the biggest struggle I've ever had, but it doesn't mean that it's not worth trying.
I feel like people are, as a whole, pretty good at the hospital about kind of saying like, it'll get done. It's okay. You know,
right.
it'll be all. But there's a lot of people who get overwhelmed too. But that is kind of on the same vein of what you're saying. Like, it'll get done. You can only do as best as you can. And as long as people are safe and happy,
mm-hmm.
that's at least in my job, that's important. Not that you shouldn't do things, but
yeah.
you know what I'm saying? You don't have to make it all perfect.
I came up with a phrase the other night that I thought
was interesting. Oh, I thought you were going to sing the love acronym that I was.
No, we'll write that later. I'll come back to it. Our bodies are shells of flesh and bone and whatever is what I consider a habit habitat.
Mm-hmm.
We are nothing but a ball of habits. It's the things that we do every day, every moment.
Your habit energy.
We either feel like we have to do or we're like instinctively inclined to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, we are habits. So why not create take away some bad habits and create some new habits, of good habits. Mm-hmm. Replace the habits, because you're going to do it anyway. No matter what, we have to do the things that we have to do.
You always have to, well, usually work and,
right,
you know.
But, yeah. So, like, if money. Those are your habits, change up some of the bad ones with good ones and just replace them. You already know you're going to. So don't think of it, what I'm doing is, oh, I don't have to do that. Think, all right, well, I don't have to do that, but I can replace it with this thing that I have to do now.
Right.
So it's like I can.
Or you can approach the way you. Change the way you approach that habit, the right. thing that you have to do.
We are nothing but everyday habits. And it feels good to be in a habit. It mm-hmm. does. It feels satisfying. When you do the thing that you feel like you have to every day at whatever given time, you get done with it. And when you're done, you do get a wash of relief. You mm-hmm. get this feeling of like, I did the thing I have to do. It's done. It's over with.
Sometimes it's those small little like cycles of like monotony like that you do that you have during the day, like, I don't know, just going to work, going to the post office or, you know, the grocery store. Those are the things that make me the most happy. Those simple, sometimes those yeah. days, especially coming back to our new house, it makes me so happy. Like having to cleaning the car, like honestly, like yeah. sweeping the porch today.
Chores
the
can
snow.
Be nice. And it's like, I have to do the dishes. And if you're going to do the dishes, then do the dishes.
That's a whole Buddhist thing too.
Don't do the dishes to get them done to do the next thing. Do them. Maybe make a game out of it. I'm just mm-hmm. saying yeah. the more you live in the moment, the more that you try to think of these habits as your moments of time. Like, I'm doing this because I have to do it, but I have to do it anyway.
And
so why not
yeah,
make
it's that
it
that special moment that you're in. So like we were saying, everything's satisfying. Led up to that. Yeah. And just kind of taking a different perspective on these things that you might see as stressful. You know, I'm going to tell you about stress. Oh. But thanks for listening.
So we kind of just rambled about.
Yeah, it was a little bit all over, but not in a bad way. It's no. We just talked about a bunch of different things.
And this wasn't funny, but I think that.
It's not funny.
We always laugh and make jokes no matter what. We kind of just went off on these ideas. But these things have been on my mind lately, and I've been doing a lot of research and just, I don't know.
Education, he's been reading and.
I'm smart
looking
now.
Looking into things. I didn't mean that to sound
I'm
condescending.
Smart now. No. I haven't been reading.
Oh, and he learned how to read.
I listen to audiobooks because I can't read. I mean, I can't not read. Like,
he's not
illiterate. I don't.
Charlie's illiterate. We'll work on it.
All right. So
I love you.
That's it. It was a ramble cast. But feel free to take whatever you can from this. Maybe it's positive and maybe it's negative and you think maybe we're idiots. So whatever you want to take from it is fine.
Take with this what you will.
Exactly. All right, guys. Have a good one. We'll talk to you soon. Maybe next time we'll be funny.
Probably
maybe.
Not.
I don't think so.
Sorry, it wasn't funny.